The Office of Special Counsel recently blocked the removal of a TSA inspector in South Carolina. The inspector was also a whistleblower. Kimberly Barnett alleges her supervisor violated agency safety rules and falsified the amount of time he worked and spent in training. The supervisor retaliated unsuccessfully. Deborah Roth is a partner at the law firm Shaw, Bransford & Roth. She joined me for this week's Legal Loop segment to discuss the significance of this case.
From what you can discern from the OSC press release and from the MSPB order that was issued a few weeks ago, this particular TSA employee was a canine handler, and apparently she had a very good service record up until the point where she reported that her supervisor may have been falsifying his training time with the canine. And as it gets reported, she, quote-unquote, blew the whistle back in October of 2013 on whether her supervisor was actually engaged in the training time he was reporting to meet the requirements for canine handling. Apparently, according to the OSC press release and the board order, TSA didn't do anything with that information. And so she reported that same accusation to OSC in June of 2014, and they immediately sent it off to Department of Homeland Security to investigate the truth of that. Within a few months, apparently, the employee had some sort of car accident. It's not clear whether it was in a GOV or her POV, on duty or off duty, but whatever it was, she had a car accident, she reported it to her boss, and then here's where the dispute arises. According to TSA, when she reported it to her boss, apparently she used profanity, and they wanted then to discipline her both for the car accident and for using profanity when she reported it, and they proposed her removal, very TSA-like. And they did effectuate her removal, but OSC stepped in a move that has been statutorily available to OSC for decades, but rarely used. You want to congratulate Carolyn Lerner, the special counsel, for reengaging this process. They sought OSC on her behalf, sought a stay of the removal action from MSPB, and in a very succinct order issued by one of the MSPB board members, they did indeed grant OSC the stay of her removal.
So it sounds like the supervisor was using the car accident and the exchange in the aftermath of that as a pretext for getting rid of a whistleblower.
Sure, that's what OSC argued to MSPB. Now, in a stay proceeding, you don't have to prove the truth of that, Tom. You just have to prove a much lower evidentiary burden that there are reasonable grounds to believe that that's indeed what happened, that to retaliate and get rid of her, they used this car accident, the use of profanity to fire her. Now, the stay was granted 45 days, and at this point then, OSC and or the employee then, you know, have to muster their evidence to actually prove that indeed that's what happened, or work out, you know, that she was terminated for whistleblower reprisal. There's other evidence in the record of a motivation to retaliate. Apparently, when she first reported the accusation internally that she thought her boss was falsifying his training record, they said things to her like, you're not a team player, and other things like that that suggested they were unhappy with her to raise this allegation. So, you know, there's other pieces of evidence out there that tie the removal action to an illegal motive, but ultimately OSC and or the employer are going to have to carry that higher evidentiary burden once the stay expires.
We're speaking with Deborah Roth. She's an attorney at the law firm Shaw, Bransford & Roth. So the lesson here, then, is that if you are a whistleblower and you think you've got a case and you know you've got a difficult boss, regardless of the rightness or wrongness, you have to be very careful in your own comportment to keep the focus on the charges that you are whistleblowing about and not bring attention to yourself.
Well, you mean because she was in the car accident?
Right. That gave a pretext to kind of muddy the waters retaliation.
Yeah. I mean, well, yes, but I assume that this employee didn't, you know, plan on getting in a car accident. And as I understand the facts, the car was parked and hit by a bus. So, you know, you can't tell from the order and from the OSC press release, again, why TSA would care about this car accident. Was it on duty? Was it off duty? Was it a POV? Was it a GOV? So all those things are unknown. But yes, Tom, for her, she couldn't control that event. But certainly, in the absence of that happening to you, if you're a whistleblower and you're blowing the whistle, you absolutely want to do everything you can to remain pristine, because which is extremely difficult. We're all human. We're all going to have a misstep, because you don't want to give your employer something to turn around and use against you as a pretext for the real reason, which in this case they claim was to retaliate or against whistleblowing.
And Deborah, while I have you, what about that employee of the agriculture department who was referred to OSC? He tried to start a super PAC or some sort of a PAC right before the election of 2012 and told some of his subordinates, this was a member of the senior executive service, he was trying to tell employees that to contribute to that PAC, that was the way to get ahead. I mean, it's hard to believe anybody can still be that far off on the Hatch Act in this day and age.
Not familiar with the case, but you know, assuming those facts are true, it's really hard for me to accept that in today's world, in today's government, that you could be that disconnected from the rules on political activity. I mean, to set up a PAC and to encourage your subordinates to join it for a political partisan reason is so outside the bounds of career civil servant behavior.
Well, I guess it's a good reminder those cases do come up once in a while that have you scratching your head.
They do. And you have to remember, the federal executive branch workforce, we call that, you know, the federal workers, federal government. I mean, there are two other branches of government where people go to work and are federal workers, both in the legislative branch and the judicial branch. But the largest branch of government is the executive branch, and it has about 1.9 million career civil servants, excluding the Postal Service. It also happens to be the single largest employer in the world. When you have 1.9 million people who go to work for you every day, somebody's going to make a really dumb mistake. That's just, it's human nature. People make mistakes. People make missteps. Some of them are more extreme than others. But when you have 1.9 million employees, you have a greater shot at having an employee do something like that.